stand. Oh, feeling better, so much better since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I Lord Jesus. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We came to give Him some praise and worship, didn't we? Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm So Glad Jesus Set Me Free. Amen. We got a reason to be happy. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. So glad Jesus set me free, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. And I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Well, now I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Amen, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing another one. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. That's right. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. That's right. Oh, when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Cause when we come in the name, oh, tell me who can stand before. Have the victory. We ain't done with that one. Come on now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons will have to flee. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, There's Gonna Be a Meeting in the Air. Is that the same key, brother? Well, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. We have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. My Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. And that sweet, sweet by and by, I am going to meet you over there in that hole beyond the sky. Such singing you will. yes, I do declare. Oh, and God's own Son will be leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, many things will be there missing in that meeting. Oh, the mourner's bench will have no place at all. Oh, there will never be a sermon preached to sinner, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. And there will be no mourning over wayward loved one. Pleading prayer, all our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting. Sweet, sweet by and by, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be that meeting in the air. Verse 3, there the doubters will be missing altogether, and all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saint will have his seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have that wedding garment will be present at that meeting in the air. Come on now, sing it. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's old Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I love just lifting Him up, don't you? Amen. Why don't we sing one more before we change the order of our service? If anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Amen. If anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do, I do. Yes, if anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do, I do. Sing it again now. If anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do, I do. Oh, if anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Let's sing His grace. Oh, if anybody knows about the grace of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, if anybody knows about the grace of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. You know about His power? Oh, curious if anybody knows about the power of Jesus. Yes, I do. Oh, I do. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him. Oh, if anybody knows about the power of my Jesus. Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Let's sing His love again. Oh, if anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, if anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do, yes, I do. Amen. As the musicians play something softly, I'll let you have your seat for just a few minutes as we make some of these prayer requests known. We have many to bring before you. I'd like to ask Brother John Harbaugh if you'd be prepared to pray over these needs when we're done. I want to remember several folks that are away traveling and not able to be with us today. We want to remember Brother Wayne and Sister Faye Coffey. I believe they're in Arkansas traveling. We want to remember them. Give them traveling mercies. Also, Brother Stephen Coffey is in Virginia today ministering. I believe at his grandfather's church there. We want to remember Brother Ernest Fulcher in prayer. I believe he's still battling with his heart condition. And it's very hard on him and the family. God would intercede on his behalf, give the family strength, and travels back and forth. It's very hard on Brother Barry and Sister Becky, caring for their loved ones in that kind of condition. So let's be mindful of that and pray for them. God would give them strength. We definitely want to remember Brother Alan Gunter in prayer. I believe he's having some severe back pain today. I want to remember Brother Matt Cross and his baby William. They're both not feeling well today. If you would remember my Aunt Sherry in prayer as well. She is needing a touch. She's feeling very badly. Also, we have a youth event. We want to remember the youth event at the Claybills. And you can sign up for that in the library. It will be Saturday the 30th at 5 p.m. Just remember to go by the library there to sign up for that. Amen. There's also another prayer request from Brother Anwar, and this is for Sister Sheba. She's homesick, and she is streaming with us today. So let's remember her, that God would give her a healing touch. Brother John, would you come forward? Let's all stand. Do you have any unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows those needs. Just hold them in your heart before the Lord. Amen.
For those that you missed yesterday, we definitely miss you. We had a great time, and we had a little youth event there, and it was very nice. So anyway, let's bow our heads. Lord, we come to you today, and Lord, just thanking you for all you've done for us. Lord, we just ask you to put your hand upon each and every one of these prayer requests. Lord, you know the needs. You know what is best. Lord, we just ask you to touch them in the way you see fit. God, we just pray for our service today. Lord, it's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful day to be in here. Lord, we just thank you for those things that you give us, the little things that we sometimes overlook, Lord, that you just pray you'll be with us today in our service. Come touch us, anoint the speaker, Lord. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Stand in Awe of You.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praises due, I stand in awe. Beautiful. wonderful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? And who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God. Stand in awe of you. Sing that again. And I stand in awe of you. Jesus, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to I stand in awe of you.
Amen. You may have your seats. I believe Brother Keith and his family have a special for us today. They'll make their way forward. Amen. Definitely want to give a word of thanks to Sister Laura for setting up that event yesterday. It was really nice to spend the time with everyone, and definitely need to do that more often. Amen. Like Brother Barry was saying. So thank you again, Brother or Sister Laura.
Yeah, we was up there on top of the mountain yesterday, and sitting out there in that big old grassy field under that shade tree, and just a gentle breeze and clouds rolling by, and I looked down at my phone and there was no signal. I thought, wow, what am I going to do? They can't reach me at work. Then I just had this peace come over me. And I just relaxed in the moment. And I got to thinking, you know, what will I really do when I wake up and lift my eyes up on the other side? And not only not having to deal with the cares of this life anymore, but just the peace knowing that, hey, I really made it. All those times that I thought I wouldn't make it, and I really made it. I don't know how I'm going to act, but I think this song probably gives a pretty good example or tells how I'm going to act. I do. I'm going to get carried away.
I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. My life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
Well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people, and I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. I must confess I can't express the feelings deep inside me and the things I know and cannot show. One day will overflow.
I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is calling glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day.
I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over.
Carried away when I get carried away.
fearful eyes will fill the skies until it looks like rain. But as I leave this world past the gates of pearl and stand before my Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roll from the roll he calls my name.
The King that day.
I'm gonna have the time of my life
when the time of my life is over.
I'm gonna get carried away
when I get carried
away. I'm gonna let the
glory roll when the road is called in glory.
I'm gonna get
beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. When the time of my life is over,
I'm gonna get
carried away. When I get carried away,
I'm gonna get
carried away, carried away. When I get carried away. Appreciate
that special. Hallelujah. We'll sing one more. Shout to the Lord. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, oh, there is none like you. All of my day I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort and my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, oh, never cease to worship you. Let's stand and sing, oh, shout to power and majesty. down and the seas will roll at the sound of your great name. Oh, I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Love him. I believe you're ready for the word. Amen. Let's have our deacons come forward at this time. We'll take up our morning offering just as we have Brother Barry come forward to minister the gospel. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Mike Pritchard if you would lead us in prayer. Sing that song, Have Your Way.
Have your way, dear Lord. Have your way. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way.
Aren't you glad to be in church this morning? God is good to us, isn't he? I believe it, like Brother Branham said it, that if God never did anything else for us, we'd still be able to say we are a blessed people. We've been highly favored, and we're thankful for that. We're going to look to the Lord this morning in prayer, and just want to thank you all for remembering Brother Fulcher and Sister Fulcher in prayer this week. It's been a very difficult week for them. He's still in the hospital. Sister Becky is with him this morning. And Lord willing, there's a possibility he may get released this evening. He had a blood transfusion last night and this morning, and may possibly get released. And so we're trusting that that might happen today. So we appreciate that very much. We have a lot to accomplish today, a lot to do, and looking forward to God speaking to us. So let's just prepare our minds and our hearts today and bring your need before him this morning. Let's sing There's none like you. Let's sing that this morning as we just look to him now. And I want you now, as best you can, just kind of push everything else aside and let's just focus as best we can and just pray that as he passes by your place that he will touch you today. There is none like you. No one else can touch a heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Sing it now. There is none like you. Touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Truly, Lord, there is none like you in all of the earth. And so we pray this morning that you would just come among us, I pray, and just speak to our hearts, Lord, as only you can. You're a God who is above all time, space, and the natural creation, Lord, but yet you humbled yourself to come to this earth, Lord, and you're still involved in the lives of the people on this earth. Lord Jesus, we come with many needs upon our hearts, many things that we are concerned about, but Lord, you know about them all, and you always have an answer. You always have an answer of peace. We pray now that you would just break the bread of life to us. Speak to us, Lord. We are sobered as we look around and see the things happening in the world that remind us of the departure soon of the bride of Christ. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just prepare our hearts, Lord. Speak to us as we come to this place. We ask now that you would just quicken the word, make it alive. I pray, heal those that are sick, Lord, and minister to those who are not with us today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you take your Bibles, if you don't mind. We're going to have, we talked to some about singing specials, and we're going to be doing that tonight. But this morning, if you don't mind, we're going to go right to the Word in Matthew chapter 27. And I'm going to take a little reading there. Matthew, the 27th chapter. This is, of course, the end of Jesus' life on earth. Natural life, Matthew 27. Verse 51, how many have it? Say amen. Amen. Good, all right. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Now, I'm sorry. Sorry, that's not the correct one there. Let me just say at the beginning here, as we just lined that out this morning here, that I want to say officially again that we appreciate the efforts that Sister Laura put into the day yesterday and all of the families who were able to come and be with us. It was an enjoyable day, relaxing. How many would agree? Good food that was there. Everybody brought their own. I think I sampled just about everything that was there. But it was a pleasant day, and it was different for us, and just kind of a relaxed time. And we should have the list of birthdays there on the next on screen number two. And so we hopefully, Lord willing, will get back on our schedule of having our Adventures in the Bible next year when we get things outlined out here, and that will be nice to get back to that. But for this year and for last year, we made that change, and so it was just nice for us to be able to step aside yesterday and just have the little time of fellowship. I'm just excited about the fellowship hall and the way it's shaping up and coming together. We've got some nice features that we're adding in there, and we're able to add in there as we conclude the construction. And so in less than a month, Lord willing, we'll be able to take occupancy there, and they do the final inspection. And that'll be really nice to be able to use that. And then, Lord willing, a little bit later on, when we get everything greased and working right, we'll be having a little meeting where we'll dedicate that. And that'll be nice for us to be able to do that a little bit later at the end of the summer, probably early in the fall when we get a good weekend. And it's really hard to get a good, really good weekend. And so we're looking forward to that. I'm just excited that that's there. I'm sorry, if that's the one that's there, there's a thumb drive in the back, believe it or not. There's a thumb drive in the stuck in the back of my computer that has it on there. I wanted to say as well that we have a bunch of meetings that have been going on over this weekend, and it's, unfortunately, everything happened on this weekend. Brother Lindsay McGrady had a special meeting that was going on this past weekend. Brother Josh Bennett had a special meeting that was going on this weekend. Brother Aaron McGarry is down in Brother Tim Hume's church this weekend. And just like there was something happening everywhere, and there was lots of things that were going on. And that often happens, you know, when you get a weekend in a month where just everything coincides. But we appreciate all of you being here today, and may the Lord richly bless you. Well, let's just do this until they get the screen up here, and let's just take a look in the Scripture. And I wanted to use the title this morning, the subject of pressure. And I'm going to divert a little bit from the theme that we've been talking about, but I'm talking about the natural pressures that we feel in the earth here. And when Brother Branham come down, especially towards the end of his ministry, there were certain sermons that he preached that were indicative of the times that we live in, and indicative of the way that the world and everybody who's on the earth should feel at the moment. In other words, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes at these transition points. And he preached messages like Countdown, and he preached messages like Birth Pains, where when the earth and the church and the cosmos and everything is changing, there's a pressure that's associated with that prior to the event actually happening. So it's almost like there's something that happens before the event actually takes place. There's a feeling that's there. It's almost like people know that there's something happening, even if they can't identify exactly what's going on. And I don't always understand that. You know, there's a I know this by experience. Being out in a boat one time out in the ocean off Newfoundland, where I'm from. And there's a feeling that you get when a whale is about to surface near you. And that's quite an experience. If you're out in a smaller boat and a whale is about to come up through the waters and surface or breach on top of the water, you know it before that animal gets there. Whales are really big, and they move a lot of water. And there's a certain amount of pressure change that takes place when the whale actually comes to the top, and you can feel it. You don't always know exactly where it is or how soon this is going to happen, but it happens. And in a spiritual sense, Brother Branham identifies. He clearly marks the fact that, you know, as Israel is going through a change and Jesus comes onto the earth, John the Baptist is there. There's a certain amount of pressure that all of a sudden everybody feels. Can't identify exactly what's going on, but something's about to break. Something's about to give. When there are things that happen in the earth, there are certain changes. Like, for instance, if there's a hurricane that comes. Even in places like Virginia, where we don't get affected, thankfully, by the immediate impact of a hurricane like it is on the coast, you can see the bands in the sky, and there's a difference in the air pressure. Everything is moving. There's just something a little bit different about the time just before that happens. And in the natural, that also is true. There's certain things that God is doing, and it's almost like there's a preparation that's made in order for that to happen. Now, A couple of weeks ago, Brother John Cochran took a service here, and he talked about earthquakes and volcanoes, and we were discussing that subject there. It's unfortunate that we are so subject to the news cycle here, because there are still things that are happening in the earth in relation to this, but it slips off the front page because other events take over. And so it's almost like when those things pop up, everything else is secondary, and we tend to forget that it's actually happening. And in reality, there are things that are happening that are quite significant. So I want to show you some before and after pictures that are taking place this morning. All right, so there we go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Everyone's allowed one mistake, right, in life. Everyone's allowed one mistake in life. I get one a day. So let's advance to the next screen here while we catch up, if you don't mind. Just wanted to interrupt here just for a moment here and just wish a happy birthday to Jonathan Walters, whose birthday is today. Sister Jessica Coffey, her birthday is the 27th of June, right? And Ava Jane Brown, her birthday is this correct? We have a reputation with your family, June 28th. How old is Ava? 2 years old. God bless her. All right. Brother Bannon makes his statement in What is the Attraction on the Mountain in 1965. Always said how I'd like to change my text for a few minutes and say, what's the matter today? And the people who are looking for him are coming are under great anticipation and expectation. So here's the example that I wanted to give. Brother Bram's talking about how Jesus is coming into the city and he's riding on the back of the foal that is taken for him. And there's something about to happen, something very great about to happen. But the people are looking at this, and some of them are saying, Hosanna, King of Kings, you know, who's coming into the city. And then there's other people looking at that with great skepticism and great doubt, as we've talked about recently. And there's an anticipation and an expectation because, we know that there's something, but we can't really identify it. And so there's a feeling that's associated with that. There's a sense that people have that something is changing. And yet, it sometimes takes the fulfillment of that in order to correctly identify what's going on. Right? It takes the fulfillment to be able to say, okay, that's what it is. Well, in our case, the things that are upon us, the things that we're moving into, are going to be events that take place at the very end of something. And so there's not going to be a season of redemption for the Gentiles past the events that I'm going to talk about today. There's not going to be a season where years and years and years where things are going to roll on and people will be able to say, all right, we'll make some changes up the road. We're heading into a season where the changes that are taking place are one way. They're at the end of the cycle of mercy for the Gentiles. And so if you're feeling the pressure today, and I'm speaking specifically to people who may have never surrendered their life to Christ, if you're feeling the pressure today, you ought to do something about that pressure. You ought to do something about that sense of anticipation that you have that something's going to happen. As if you're sitting there saying, well, I know something's going to happen. I mean, you know, the scientists talk about it. Brother Bram talks about it. The Bible talks about it. Let me tell you, that's God's mercy extended to you. That's letting you know that you are right. You are on the right track. You are getting the right vibes for our time. Okay? And Brother Bam said we can feel it, the pressure. Now remember now, on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection, there was a time of mercy for the Gentiles that went stretched on, we know now, over 1900 years. And yet, what I'm telling you today is that we've come to the end of that period of grace for the Gentiles. So this anticipation then has a sense of urgency about it. Okay? And they are seeking, Brother Branham says, and they're watching every move and every sign, comparing it with the Scripture. So that's the important thing for you to do, is compare this with the Scripture, what I'm going to tell you today. We want to look at it and say, does this line up? If it lines up, then it's God speaking to you. If it doesn't line up, then it's just me filling an hour for service here on Sunday morning, and I don't do that. In Expectations 1951, Brother Branham said, we know that if we could draw, speaking of the word pressure now, he gives this example, if we could draw a picture of the love of God 10 million times more than the seas of this earth, banked into one tube a few inches across, would reach billions of miles beyond the stars. Took all the waters of the ocean, put them in a pipe, stood the pipe up. He said it would go billions of miles beyond the stars. and thinking of the pressure that there would be at the bottom of that tube where the water is trying to come out. He said how that water with all them billions of tons of pressure would trying to press down. Yet the love of God is searching our hearts tonight. Great powers of strength that He would like to find one little crevice to leak through to come into our lives and give us great power and unction beyond every man's understanding. That's too tough to believe. That's too great of a number to believe, that kind of pressure. That is really an outstanding thing. So, but Brother Branham is talking about, this pressure that exists of how God is trying to press His way, not only into our lives, but to move us to the place where we need to be. And then also to move nations in the place where they're supposed to be and move Israel in its place where it's supposed to be and all the other factors that need to be exactly perfectly aligned in the earth in order to allow God to be able to execute the last portion of His program for the Gentiles. And so it's a great force that's working. And so if you feel a portion of that force today, if you feel a portion of that anticipation, you're right. It's God trying to move you. It's God trying to make things exactly right in your life. And so we should be thankful for that because that really is God's mercy. Now, in questions and answers, I got five screens here that I need to get to before we get graphic. Brother Branham said in questions and answers 1954, he said, the Bible speaks that the United States come up like a lamb of freedom of religion and directly uniting those things together, spoke like a dragon, exercised the power of the dragon before him. He said that's the United States. Revelation 13, we know, is speaking of the United States. And a minister said to me not long ago, a friend of mine, this is a very typical statement, Brother Branham, God will never let the United States fall because of the basis of its forefathers founded on religion. So God is almost obligated to protect America because of its history. Because of its, its establishment on religious principles and so forth. And that's what this minister actually told Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, I said, he let the Jews, sure, be carried away. They had a lot better understanding than we had. There is a point where you can exhaust God's mercy. You can do it nationally, and you can do it individually. Brother Branham said, God ain't no respecter of some generation that's passed. You either walk the line or you're out of the kingdom. That's all. So every generation has a responsibility to measure up to God's requirement for that generation, right? If God gives a revelation, we are responsible for the revelation God gives. We're not responsible for what God told Martin Luther or John Wesley, but we are responsible for what God has said and done today. And God is not obligated. There's no seniority. There's no equity in this whole thing. Hey, we did have great men who came before us. And we did have, better generations that might have come before us. But God doesn't owe you anything because they lived on the earth. Or because somehow, comically, we can say, we're Americans. Because America sinned away its day of grace. It sure has. And so therefore, we can't rely on anything past in order to rest upon or to rest carefully today. Now, Brother Branham also said about our time in 1963, he said, we are becoming a scientific age. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. You don't need much to believe that that's true. Becoming a scientific age. Now, the statement scientific age means, and I love the way he says this so simply, is that everything must be proved scientifically. In other words, we're moving away from an age of faith, and we're moving to where everything has to be proven scientifically. Everything has to be Googled and have an answer. Everything has to have some expert behind it who says categorically, yes, this is exactly the way that it is. And people rely on that. They've learned to rely on that, right? They don't rely so much on the fact that, the Bible says so, or the message says so, even. But we have to have an expert that says that. You can get that off the screen there for me, if you don't mind. He says, we're living in an age of science and where we're weaker and wiser, and we're living in that age. Now, that's the beginning of that age. We've come a long way from, 1963 to where we are today, but we're living in that age. And he said, the more we probe into science, the further we actually get away from God. You'll never be able to scientifically prove God. With all of the intelligence and all the power that we have, we're never able to prove God. Now, the scientific age has, in a sense, it has some benefits for us. They put a new thermostat in my office in here. And the thermostat apparently is able to learn my actions. And I when I come in, I move it to a certain temperature. And the thermostat now, by now, has figured out that whenever this guy rolls in here, he turns the thermostat to this number. So I'm going to turn it to that number before he gets there. And I don't have any connection with my smartphone at all. It's just doing it automatically. And it knows that I'm probably going to roll in here, and I like the temperature at a certain place, and it does that. I mean, that's, in a sense, that's kind of neat, you know. Right? I mean, if you lived in the Dark Ages, and you lived in, I don't know, in Italy somewhere, it would have been nice to have air conditioning back in those days, right? So, you know, I mean, I'll take that. That's all right. We also find that I think I showed you this before, a Boeing 747, which is now out of the passenger mode, is still being used in the world to carry cargo. And a typical 747 will carry 710,740 pounds roughly of cargo when they fully load it. And they still send those all around the world and, you know, bring lots of stuff around. It's really an interesting thing that if you took 100,000 of the little chips that we produce here in the message with all the message on it, with the Bibles and so on, and you turn that into paper, we would fill actually 6 747s and send them around the world. So we're able to take 100,000 of those little microchips that we have, and that contains every sermon and every the Bible in English. And if you translated all of that or turned it all into print, you would need this many cargo planes in order to ship that amount of message books around. Now we can put it on a little chip, stick it in somebody's phone, and they can have everything on their phone. That's pretty neat. That's pretty nice. Because we used to have to pay a lot of money to fill those cargo planes to get the message books in different places or set up printing presses in different parts of the world. And things have changed. And so, in a sense, you know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil did actually have some good things on it. Now, let's go a little bit farther. So it's 4.265 million pounds of cargo. I'm just going to give you one more statistic. And I found this interesting here. Now you got to think about this one for a minute, okay? I was telling Lucas this the other day because he has a better mind for stuff like this than I do. Every year they rank supercomputers in the world. Supercomputers are very, very powerful beyond your understanding, my understanding, idea of how things actually work and how fast they can actually work. And they use these computers for doing big things in the earth, like modeling. They will model climate change, for instance, for the next 50 years, or they'll deal with temperatures of the ocean, you know, things that require vast amounts of data being crunched. And there's only certain companies that can use computers like this because it takes, enormous amount of smart people in order to even turn it on. And this one is owned by IBM. It's the fastest one in the world now for this year. It's called the Summit. And all of the other top 10 computers are in China that are used because there's so much production and so forth that happens over there. But just to give you an idea, Brother Branham, all I'm doing is telling you that Brother Branham said we're in the scientific age where everything has to be proven. So they've got to build machines in order to be able to prove the things that are being said and to also disprove things that are being said. But just to give you an idea, as Daniel prophesied that this time would come, if every person on earth completed one calculation per second, it would take the world population 305 days to do what someone can do in 1 second. Mercy. That's where you're supposed to say, mercy. Put another way, if a person were to run the calculations hypothetically by themselves, it would take 2.3 trillion days or 6.35 billion years in order to do what that computer can do in 1 second. That dwarfs every other statistic I've ever given you ever in my life. I mean, that's flat out fast. That's powerful. But Brother Branham said we're living in a scientific age. And so these things just get increasingly faster and bigger all the time. None of them, though, are able to prove God. None of them. We don't have to rely on any of them to understand and know what we know today. Here's Brother Branham again, 1965. Now, this is a big issue now because This is how our children are being trained to think, to rely on the evidence, the scientific evidence, not faith evidence, but scientific evidence of the reality of things and how things are actually shaping up in the world. And this is how education is shaped, and this is how our young minds are being trained to think that this can be proven, and this can be scientifically related to this, and that's how we have a generation that's coming up. Now, Brother Bam said, he said the increase in scientific research. He said, my grandfather went to see my grandmother in an ox cart. Now he said it's a jet plane or even outer space. It's great. He said, who said this? He said, Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 4. Knowledge shall increase in the last days. And we see the hour, he said, we're living in. Notice the conditions of the world and the conditions of science. So it is not just the knowledge that science has, but it's the condition now that the world has turned into because of all of this knowledge. All right? So I want to tie some things together here. He says, and notice again today in our educational system, don't try to deny this. He said, I've got newspaper clippings that are, teaching sex in our schools of young students who have sexual affairs with one another and see if they can mate in the world. So that's 1965. Now, today, and we sent a little article to our boys here because they're all Eagle Scouts. The things that the Boy Scouts, who are no longer called Boy Scouts anymore, the things that the Scouts are actually doing today would make your hair stand on end, and I wouldn't repeat here in the pulpit. The things that they're allowing and promoting now because they want to keep up with the trend of our time, and the acceptance and all of the tolerance that is talked about today, it's absolutely stomach turning to see how far, how quickly an organization like that can turn so immoral so quickly, and lose their way. It's heart rending to see that, and so therefore, Brother Branham's telling us one thing. He said that knowledge will increase, but there's a condition that goes with that. And you don't want to have the results now of all of this. Now, let me tell you, this world is priming itself to be a place to leave, not to stay. And that's exactly what our understanding of this whole thing is. And we should be praying that the Lord will allow the bride to get out of here soon, because it's just frightening to see where things are going so quickly. And so, therefore, there's a sense of alarm. There's a pressure that goes with this. And we know this. We ought to be thankful that we know what we know, because the rest of the world doesn't get to make the connections that we do. They would look at this and say, oh, wow, great supercomputers. And great, we can do this. And we're more progressive. And we're more tolerant. And we're more inclusive. And we're more this. And we're more that. And they look at that and say, wow, maybe one day we'll get to a better world. And I'm saying this. Hey, the only thing you're going to get to is tribulation. This is all leading into tribulation. And the world is lulled into thinking that this is better. It ain't better. The better place is not even here. It's in the millennium, right? It's in the wedding supper in the millennium, and so that's where we'll be. When the Lord renovates this earth, and then we come back onto it in a different condition altogether. But the knowledge has created a condition in the world that is not desirable for Christian people. And that's the reality of it. Now, we've said this many times, and one day I won't be around to say it anymore, but this is a serious thing that I think it's important to remind ourselves of, because we're living in a time when the clock is ticking. So we've talked about earthquakes a little bit. Let me give you this little statement here. Brother Bam said in 1964, he said, believing that this is one of the last great revivals that the world will receive, and he said, it's come to the last age, in the Laodicean age, at the end of the Pentecostal dispensation. So he's telling us something that we know very well. And I believe the church is now going into the lukewarmness as the Bible predicted. And we're seeing just the catching of the last part when we see these things happen, has been happening in the last few days. He's talking about current events, things that are going on. And he says, we're actually stepping into this cycle of the last days when these things are being fulfilled. For instance, he said, the great earthquake in Alaska. And never has been an earthquake like that in all the world. It come on Good Friday. He said, let me read it again. Never has been an earthquake like that in all the world. It come on Good Friday. The last time the world was shaken was on Good Friday, when our Master died, when Jesus died on the cross, which I read to you here. And he said, it shook the whole world. And remember, it might be the sign of him returning. So a sign that something quite significant going on in the earth is marked by massive earthquake. So as Brother John intimated when he was here a couple of weeks ago, that could it be that things that are happening in Scripture coincide with things that actually happen in the earth? Well, God made them both. And yes, I believe it's very possible. I believe it is absolutely a certainty. And remember, he said it might be a sign of him coming. Today we got another one in California just appearing everywhere, light earthquakes. They say there's thousands of them that happen every day because of the shifting of the plates. He said we notice even the Capitol building has moved out of its place. And in Baton Rouge, a swimming pool dashed the water out from all the way from Alaska. So when the Alaskan earthquake took place, it shook the earth down as far away as Louisiana and knocked the water out of the pool. And he said over in Switzerland and Sweden and through there, he said shook the buildings and things around the world. So this is not these are not isolated events, but these are interconnected because the earth itself is interconnected. And now we have the ability now to be able to sense events that take place in the earth. So when there's a shift, when there's a quake or a mini quake, whatever, there's things that go off. You remember several years ago, there was the Kursk submarine that sank off the coast of Norway. It was a Russian submarine. It was a nuclear submarine. Peter and I were there. Were you with me in Norway? Not in Norway, but we were somewhere when that took place. And the submarine actually had an explosion on it, and it sunk to the bottom, and all of those sailors died who were inside the submarine. The seismic system in the earth, which is in place, and all these dots are seismic monitors that they have today, they picked up blast that took place in that submarine because it was so powerful, and they knew that something had happened somewhere in the earth. It was so strong. And so they have, now they have sensors. They didn't have these years ago, but now they have sensors where they can tell right away exactly what's going on in the earth itself and on the earth's crust. Part of this, though, is interesting. Part of this is put in place because there are news agencies that want to get the first scoop on the earthquake that happens. So they actually have sensors drop down into fault lines, which are connected to satellites, and beam the size of the earthquake to their head office so that they get to say, we got the breaking story. That's where some of these monitors are placed. And it's true, not that you could do anything about an earthquake. You can't prevent it if you know it's happening. Like Peter was saying one time, one of the only things you can do in advance warning of an earthquake is to open up the doors in a fire station and the rescue squad. Because if you don't get the doors open, because garage doors don't open up easily when you have a building that's, you know, tilted. But if you get the doors open in time, you can get the fire trucks out and hopefully do something if there's roads left. If not, you got to drive through the doors. And so the sensors, in a sense, they help little things like that. But in the case of Los Angeles cracking off and sliding into the sea, it's really not going to be a benefit to get the garage door open if the garage door is underwater. So this is the scene as it looks over a period of time, and this is a monitoring from 1900 all the way to 2010. Geophysicists might not be able to predict the exact location and timing of each individual quake in Yellowstone, but we can say with confidence that the probability of those Yellowstone quakes increased when seismic waves from Alaska arrived in Yellowstone. So they're saying exactly what Brother Branham's saying. That, you know, there's an event and there's a ripple effect that happens all over the world. And geophysicists are saying exactly the same thing, that all of these earthquakes, if they are interconnected, then somehow or another they're weakening that area around Los Angeles and the San Andreas Fault, and they're also affecting Yellowstone, which would have grave consequences for our country here. So they're saying exactly the same thing. I think it's amazing. And Brother Branham, a man without education and without training, could say with such confidence things that now scientists are able to put out like this and show absolutely sure. Here's Brother Branham saying it years ahead with confidence, without any education. You know why? Because he's getting it from an inspired source. He's getting it from God. Just amazing. So here we are now. We're able to look at both sides now. We're able to look at the prophetic, and we're able to look at the natural and compare them and say yes. And the reason I'm doing this is simply because I need everybody here to know, and everybody who listens, I need you to know that if you're feeling an apprehension, if you're feeling a tension or a pressure because of this, You're right. Something's about to blow. So here's Hawaii today. Even though it's dropped off the front pages of the newspaper, right? Because we got something else that replaces it. You only have a 2 or 3 day cycle and then it's gone. This is a before picture. This is an after picture. So lava comes down and actually redefines the coastlines. Because it'll flow until it hits the ocean and then it steams to a halt. And it will create new coastlines. But if you look back, this is, neighborhoods and communities and so forth. And now this is entirely changed. You've got a great big stream. I can't move too fast here. Someone said Sister Molly was moving faster than I was today. But this is a stream of lava that's come down from mountains up here and stopped here at the ocean. And it's redefining all of this coastline, which once, that was a bay before. And now it's absolutely filled with lava. Here's a golf course that was pictured in Hawaii, and now it's all redefined, the coastline all redefined because of the movement of the lava in that place. Now, so this is a familiar picture to us. We have the Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is an area around the Pacific Rim that where a lot of these tectonic plates and so forth revolve, and a lot of the activity, the volcanic activity and the earthquake activity happens around this Ring of Fire. And it's interesting to us because all of the North American coastline, the Pacific side, is all involved here, and then South America. And the Alaskan earthquake happened on that Ring of Fire as well. Now, what's interesting is that you see a notation here where you have the Challenger Deep, and this is a map that shows all these trenches. And trenches are really, really deep spots in the ocean where plates have come together and collided and gone like this and actually dug out a trench where they pushed together and gone downward instead of upward to form a mountain, but gone downward and dug huge holes in the ocean. Part of the temperature of the ocean is regulated by holes like Challenger Deep, which are extremely, extraordinarily deep in the ocean. No one's ever been down there. And these trenches exist all around wherever there are plates that butt up together. And there's a Middle American trench, which is over here, right in that area below Los Angeles. Brother Branham said all that area is honeycombed out. And now they know that the trench that's there, right just below Los Angeles, is a result of pressures that those plates have created moving downward. And so there's a great big hollow place that's down there. Now, without going into a lot of science, here's the drawing of the Challenger Deep Trench that I just showed you there. Here's the trench is 36,000 feet deep. Now, let me just see if I can move back this way a little bit. Here's the Burj Khalifa, which is in Dubai. Absolutely extraordinarily tall, but in comparison to this trench, it's just a spit in the bucket here. And then Denver, the Mile High City, and this is the Matterhorn in Switzerland. Mount Everest over here, 29,000 feet. If you took Mount Everest, turn it upside down, put it down in the Challenger hole, you'd still have over a mile to go before you'd reach several miles actually, before you'd actually go and reach the bottom of the Challenger pit. It's extraordinarily deep. And they only have sent some unmanned vessels down in that area there, but there's nothing really that can handle the stress and the pressure of that kind of depth of water there. And so above the earth, there are mountains and so forth. In the ocean, there are these trenches that are there, and all they are places which are carved out because of the movement of these plates here, and they create honeycombs. They create valleys where things can slide and move. And there's one right next to Los Angeles. Brother Branham said, and then prophesying, he said, Los Angeles will be in the bottom of the sea. This is after choosing of a bride now. And he says, and I come home and I went to Africa. And while I was in Africa, they had an earthquake. And I was on the broadcast that some big fine homes tumbled in Los Angeles. And he said, since that earthquake, there's been a 2 or 3 inch crack that came through the earth, starting in Alaska, goes around through the Aleutian Islands and comes up 150 to 200 miles into the sea and comes back up in San Diego and takes in Los Angeles and comes out again just below the northern part of California to a place called San Jose. He said, just below there. He's exactly right. These are cracks that are 2 to 3 inches wide. They're not huge. Now, if you're building a skyscraper and you set that skyscraper on a piece of land, it's important that everything is straight. If you move a portion of that land 2 or 3 inches, you got a problem if you got a skyscraper sitting on it. And these cracks that form in the earth here obviously loosen everything. And this has been going on. And here's Brother Branham, you know, a prophet with the mind of God. And he's looking at that and saying, hey, this is happening. You know, these earthquakes are happening. The earth is moving. He said it starts way up here, comes all the way down through here. And he's highlighting all of these different phenomena that are taking place in the earth. And he's exactly right. We've seen, and this is just a little bit of science here, about how the plates slip against one another. They have strike slips, which is what the San Andreas one is. And all it means is that they're going to give way because they butt up against one another with such pressure and such strength. And these fault lines run, and the trenches all run down the side of the coast of North America here, and potentially cause problems. Now, let me just say this, that the problems are exacerbated. In other words, the problems are increased now because everyone wants to live on the coast. Greater population centers exist on the coastlines of most nations because most people don't want to live in, you know, Kansas. They want to be on the coastline where there's more activity and obviously things are more exciting. So we have clusters of populations now that live on this on the coastlines of cities like this one here. And it becomes a place where the destruction that takes place is more devastating and more enormous. So when you look at cities that are parked near coastlines where plates connect or where volcanoes exist, we have the potential for great destruction. Invisible Union. And everything has been said. He said, oh, even the destruction of California coming up now and all those other things. How I told them how many days it would be and how it would be with this big earthquake happened in Alaska. That would be the beginning of the sign of time and what would take place. So in 1964, Brother Tom and Sister Kim were there in Alaska when this took place, and they've shared a little bit of their testimony about being up there during that time. And Brother Branham said that event, he said, was a beginning of something. But he never said anywhere where it was going to end, except in the event that would take Los Angeles out. But he said this was a triggering event. This is the thing that started things to happen. Recently, Lucas and I were up in Alaska up there, and we're looking at some of the areas where this took place. And I remember standing downtown. These are ships that are washed up in Kodiak here. We've seen that picture before. But we were downtown here when we were up on the last trip up in Anchorage there. And I remember just going down this street, and they've got it all redone now. And the JCPenney's is there, and you know, there's other big department stores that are down there in downtown. And I was just driving down. I remember this picture because these photographs are actually duplicated, and they're inside the JCPenney and the other stores that are right there along Main Street in downtown Anchorage. And so you can go in and look at them and many other pictures besides. And you're thinking, wow, Brother Branham said this was the beginning of something. This is a triggering of something. And he said, if this was just a monster flipping his tail, you can imagine what it would be like. I mean, or could we? Could we imagine what it would be like to see when God actually renovates the earth? And all of that which is inside, you know, begins to come out. This morning I had a report in Hawaii. They said that even though lava flows will slow down, they said that the winds now are taking the gases that are coming out from the earth and blowing them down the sides of the mountains there. And people, they have no recourse. There's absolutely nothing they can do except move away because those gases are so deadly and so poisonous. And they're just floating out from the center of the earth and coming up through the flume. And then they blow down the mountainsides and come into the population areas. And they said there's absolutely nothing they can do because without respiratory equipment, they really can't normally breathe in a place like Hawaii, which is normally a very picturesque and a very beautiful and, scenic place to be. And now they can't even be anywhere near where those mountains are. And Brother Branham said all of that. He said it was a triggering event, this Alaskan earthquake. He said when it just flipped its tail. I'm, you know, it's to me, it's a sobering thing. So we have other events that have taken place over a period of time here. And when the Japanese earthquake took place, there was a lot of people who took notice of that quake because the earth actually pivoted on its axis. It was moving back towards where it is supposed to be. The earth actually shifted. And they were saying that as a result of that, these plates are actually sliding. And they said the one plate is actually moving towards North America and so forth. And the article is included here. I don't want to hang on all of the science here because we just want to conclude some things with what Brother Branham said. He said, 1965, an invisible union now. Brother Branham realizes he's coming towards the end of his ministry. Things have been said in choosing a bride. He's coming to the place where these phenomena are taking place. There's a spiritual element to this. The seals are open. The word is open. The token's been preached. Mysteries are being resolved through his ministry. And he knows he's opened up enough where all of these loose ends begin to come together. And on the spiritual side, there are great things that are, in a sense, have shaken the whole religious world. And on the natural side, here are things that are beginning in the earth, where he takes a handful of dirt and throws it up in the air. And he says, brothers, he said, destruction's going to strike the West Coast. And in the earth, there's natural phenomena. In the heavens, there's natural phenomena that's taking place. And all of it is indicating the same thing. I guess our in a sense, we've heard a lot of this for a long time. And it'd be kind of like, I guess, Noah preaching the same sermon for a long time, right, to people. And people living probably back in the days of Noah with a supercomputer that could... Look, if you don't mind, put this data in. Put in what Noah's saying, and let's see if we can calculate that. And in the supercomputers of that day, it probably would have came up with a conclusion and said, look, we just in this supercomputer, we can't find anything called rain. We can't find anything called rain falling down from the heavens. And so if it wasn't scientifically proven, the people could develop kind of a carefree attitude about things, right? If you're trained to rely on the scientific evidence, and there's no evidence of rain, even the best minds and best computers couldn't come up with this concept of rain, then you know what? We don't really need to worry about things. Even though there's one voice in the earth that's calling for rain, and rain's going to happen, and he's preparing for the inevitable deluge of rain that's coming, we're taught not to rely on that. We're taught to rely on this. Here's Brother Branham, in a sense, doing exactly the same thing. He's got a spiritual phenomena that's breaking wide open here, and the word is coming to him, and he stands up there with now the mind of God and unraveling mysteries and things that have been hidden for thousands of years, and now all of a sudden it's now so clear as if God was speaking it exactly in this day, for this day, to us. And it's becoming so real to him. And he's standing there remarking all of these events that are taking place in the spiritual world. But at the same time, he's saying all of these natural phenomena too are an indicator. Just like it was when Jesus was on earth and died and the earth moved. He said, now, could this be a sign of his return? Now I told him, he said, those things would happen would be the beginning of the sign of time and what would take place. And word by word, it's never failed. It can't because it's God's word. Leadership. Do you know, he says, what the Lord says here about Los Angeles and these places? She's gone. And remember what I told you about 2 years ago, that the earthquake would come up in Canada and up here in Alaska. And he said, I told you, Hollywood and Los Angeles slide into the ocean. He said, California, you're doomed. Not only California, but you world, he said, you're doomed. Church, unless you get right with God, you're doomed. That's thus saith the Lord. Kind of a sobering thing when somebody professes doom. But now, if you don't mind, let's look at another little angle of this before we wrap it up. In Ezekiel chapter 36. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are at hand to come. Ezekiel now is prophesying about a day like our day. And he says, Israel is scattered, but he says, they are at hand to come. They are at hand to return back. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. The land of Israel shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you and all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. So at the same time, when he got the spiritual phenomena that's taken place in Israel, or in the Gentile world, Brother Branham's ministry, And you have the natural things taking place on the earth. You have the heavens indicating it. You also have Israel, modern Israel today, Jews, that are still making their exodus back to the land that God said they would go back to. And he said, I'll bless you coming back there. And all of the nations of the earth would not approve of that until Israel stands by itself, and we know we're moving into that time. Because the trend is in our country, which once solidly stood for Israel, now the trend is that younger and younger Americans don't care. They really don't care. I'm not talking about you now, but I'm talking about the general population of Americans, that a 24-point majority over 65 say that Israel's actions are justified in establishing their homeland and actually being there, while the majority of 18 to 29-year-olds, there's those millennials again, they said the reverse. In other words, they don't really have a right to do that. Israel does not have a right to go back and imprint themselves, impose themselves on their own land. They don't have a right to do that. Because we live in an age where everyone is taught equality and tolerance. And you got to respect everybody for everything they're doing and no questions asked. And my goodness, you don't want to say anything. You don't want to say anything in society, right? In our country, you don't want to say anything that's going to make somebody feel bad. You don't want to give a kid an F on an exam, right? My goodness. Just destroy their self-esteem. So we have a shift. We have a trend in America where they're moving away from sympathy and support for Israel. And this is, of course, something that's been monitored very closely. Now, in the book of Zechariah, if you don't mind, let's take your Bible. And we'll just look at one place here in the Scripture before we close. Zechariah chapter 10. Do you need me to go through the books? Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, and Zechariah. Chapter 10. Very critical book in Scripture. Very critical in terms of events that are taking place today. It's almost like a road map. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. So the enemies of God's people will be confounded during that time. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. They will be as though I had not cast them off. Imagine, God can forget 2,000 years of rejection. He can wipe away thousands of years and all of the events associated with it of rejecting the Messiah. And God says, I'll be with them just like I always was. I will receive them again. Let me tell you, that's mercy. That's mercy that most of us don't really understand, right? Because God can do that. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. And their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. In other words, this will happen over a period of time, not just an overnight, but over a generation, where their children shall see it. This is a period of time that Zechariah is referring to. And I will hiss for them. In other words, that word hiss means I will signal. I will signal for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they shall increase as they have increased back in the time of Egypt. You remember when Egypt increased and the government of Egypt said, hey, we're going to have to throw the babies in the river. The increase of Israel always represents a threat to the rest of the world. The strength of Israel always represents a threat to the rest of the world. Because it is not just a natural thing. There's a spiritual element that goes with the increase in Israel, right? And this is what Zechariah is telling them, that I will signal them, and when the signals go out, I will gather them back in Israel. And you know what? When I get them back, and they actually come back into the land, I'll be as though I never left them in the first place. I will embrace them. I will stand with them. We will fight together, shoulder to shoulder. And there will be no hesitation at all. God said, I'll just jump right in, and I'll do this, but I'm going to send out signals first. And if we had time, we could show you beginning in the 1900s how preachers went out, rabbis went out, spiritual men went out in Jewish communities all over the world and began to tell them, hey, this is the time. You need to come back to Israel. Israel's going to be resettled. Israel's going to be repatriated. And they preached this in synagogues and temples all around the world. There were places like Russia that were not open to that idea. They didn't let their populations go. They were in a communist situation. And so the Jews could not leave at all. But I believe, saints of God, I believe absolutely without a shadow of a doubt that God allowed the communist regimes in the world to be able to break down enough for two reasons. And one is to allow these Jews to follow the signal that's being sounded and go back to Israel. And they did. And the second thing is for the message to be able to come into those lands as well and penetrate and find the believers in those areas. And those two things are history. And so God says, I will signal. I will send out a signal, and God's people will know it in the same way that when God signaled you and let you know that there was a message in the earth, you picked up on that signal and you heard something and you reacted to it and said, I got to follow that. I got to go after that. Just like that duck does up in the north when it's time to fly south. And Brother Branham said, one of them will honk a certain way and everybody wakes up and they all get in formation and off they go. There's a signal that's sent. And God put something in you to hear that signal and to follow that signal and not be intimidated by anybody that wants to prevent you from following that signal. Because somehow you realize God is with me and God is allowing this to happen and you see the hand of God in it all. And he says, I will gather them back there and they shall increase as they increase back in that time. And I will sow them among the people and they shall remember me in far countries and they shall live with their children and turn again. This is the diaspora. This is the years when they were out in other nations and they were established in other nations. But God roots them out according to prophecy and brings them back into the land again. And he says, I will turn them. I will turn them even in generations and they will be back. In verse 10, and I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. In other words, there will be so many of them that return. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction and shall smite the waves in the sea, and the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. In other words, there's going to be a gathering. Other nations are affected by that gathering. But I am attempting to do one thing, and that is to get my people where I want them to be, and I'm willing to push all other nations aside. And he said, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. You are living in the day. You are living right in the time where that's taken place. This is your day. This is your hour. And we happen to be on the tail end of the Gentile time when Israel is coming back to receive their Messiah. And we're living on that overlap where God's just concluding things with the Gentiles to take her out. But this is exactly, categorically, what's happening in Israel at the moment here. If you got your Bible still open there in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2, and you can follow this and read this more thoroughly here. The burden of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem an immovable rock. And that's what that word means there, a burdensome stone. In other words, I will make Jerusalem something that nobody can move. They cannot displace Jerusalem. They cannot blow it up. They cannot, take it apart politically. They can't do anything with it. It is an immovable rock for all people. And all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all people of the earth be gathered together against it. It doesn't matter how much power, how much might is exerted against the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. God says, I'm going to make it an immovable rock. I'm going to put a stability there that other nations have no power against it whatsoever. Hey, folks, you realize we have things happening in the spiritual realm. We have things happening in the natural realm. We have things happening in the Jewish realm. All of these are signals that indicate the same message. So wrapping this up for the Gentiles, Brother Branham said, what's it going to be like at the end? He said it'll be a tightening. We refer to that as a squeeze. When that time comes, he said, the press comes to a place where you're pressed out. And he says, now watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pulled in. It'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it'll be for the bride of Christ. A squeeze is not something that happens all at once. A squeeze is something that happens in a gradual way. And Brother Bam said it's a tightening all the time. I don't think you need to be a rocket science to figure out how things are tightening in our time now. And I will tell you, One of the means that God is using is the court system and the appointment of judges in our time. And I have more to say on that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But a gradual squeeze means that there's a change within the societies that we live. And we live in one of the freest, one of the most democratic in the world. And yet we see that the laws are changing here. So will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? No. Aren't you glad he said that? No. Next thing is the rapture. Remember now, you're at the promised land and we're at the border. You understand the march of Israel. Israel came out. They wandered through the wilderness for a season. Then they came to the borderland and they came in. Had to come in a certain order. Had to come in a certain way. But remember the march of Israel. If we compare the two, let me tell you, we've already been brought out of Egypt. We've wandered in time. Until now, the only thing left is the going in of the bride. It has to be in the order that God's determined. So here's Brother Bram's advice. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light said he catches people away, shall not go through the tribulation. And everybody said, amen. When the trouble comes, when this tightening down comes, I don't believe it's a persecution like in the Dark Ages. I don't believe it's a persecution like the tribulation. Because we're not ordained for tribulation. We are not, according to 2 Thessalonians, we are not appointed to wrath, but rather to mercy. But when this comes, and it's inevitable, and it's moving in all around, he says, don't get scared. There's somebody here who's going to catch God's people away. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Branham? No matter how dark it gets, if you can't see your hand before you, just remember, there's a man here that can turn on the light. Can rapture the church. He's not a million miles away. He's here. I said he's not a million miles away, folks. He's here. He's not going to make some grand entrance that everybody's going to take note of. I believe he's here. He's among his bride. Brother Bram said in 1964, when their eyes were opened and they knew him, he said, and now they won't believe it if a godly minister ordained of God with the gospel can tell them. People won't believe it. Here's Brother Branham letting us know. He's telling us the whole story. He's telling us the whole story in the 60s. Earthquakes. Events that are starting in the earth now. Mysteries among the Gentiles that are coming, you know, into a clear picture. Israel moving back into its land. And they never stopped. Once that exodus started back into Israel, they're hearing the signal. They're moving back into the land. And Israel becomes stronger and stronger all the time, militarily, financially, socially, becoming stronger all the time. For Israel to have existed in the Middle East with all of the neighbors around it that hate it so much, God had to do something among them, right? God has to have his hand upon them and their borders to be able to make things so secure. Let me tell you, that's not just a national decision. That's not just a United Nations decision. That is the hand of God with all of those nations that absolutely hate and would destroy. And even today are still creating weapons that would destroy Israel if it's possible. Let me tell you, the hand of God is upon Israel for sure. We have multiple signs, multiple fronts where God is actually, you know, signaling to us. And he said, God gives it to him. God-ordained preacher. The gospel made so clear, still won't believe it. Honest to goodness, he said, the whole world looks like it's got a pressure on it. I don't know how to explain to folks, but it's here. Wake up. It's later than you think. Let's stand to our feet. You ought to find somebody this week and tell them, say, hey, what do you think of all these events that are taking place in the world? What do you think of that? Just ask them. Ask them what they think of that. Ask them what they, what people are saying about that. And I will guarantee you, they'll go back to the news every time. They'll go back and they'll tell you what the news says every time. And I have news for you that the news is not always right. They get some things right. But we have an answer, right? We have a sure answer. We have a positive statement about what it is that's actually taking place in the earth. And we can tell people, hey, and you can even go back to the scripture and say, the Bible says that certain things are going to take place in this last day, and we're living right in the middle of it here. It's actually unfolding. It's actually happening right now. I'm sorry. Just like Noah probably would have got up at the end of service and said, I'm sorry, I kind of stuck in a certain vein. talking about the ark and talking about the price of lumber, talking about rain, talking about the judgment cycle that we're in. And he probably talked about how God was displeased with the people and attitudes and where sin had taken people back in the days of Noah. Because as it was in the days of Noah, so is it now. And Noah probably after. I mean, I've not been preaching here 15 years. Imagine after 50 years, Noah gets up and says, hey, folks, I know I'm being a little repetitive. After 75 years, you know, forgive me of going over the same theme. 100 years telling the people, I was just praying about service this morning and the Lord brought me back to this again. After 100 years. But you know what? He was right. He was right. And it also shows to me that God is long-suffering. He really is long-suffering. He wants nobody to be excluded. He wants nobody to feel like, God wouldn't accept me or God wouldn't warn me. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is. God loves you. God is warning you. God is sending signals out still. He's signaling to Israel, hey, the place for you is not out there. The place for you is back in Israel. And he's telling the Gentile bride, the place for you is not out there in some nominal church or out in the world somewhere. The place for you is in the body of Christ, plugged in. The place for you is in Christ. That's what he's telling the members of the bride of Christ. And it speaks of God's long-suffering. It speaks of his mercy. And I think that's a great thing. One day it rained, I guess, and Noah could close his Bible and he was the kind of man that wouldn't say, I told you so. But he'd probably look around and saw his family in the ark sweeping the floors and getting the feed out and looking after the animals. And he probably just said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for bringing in everybody who's supposed to be in. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and now as I wake, I'll up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Sing that chorus again, now one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. As I wait, rise up like the eagle.
Spirit leads me on in the power.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God still moves. God still moves. God still moves in the hearts. Look here. These people, God still. Sing that this morning here. We're on the cusp of a reality shift. Reality shift means that God begins to allow things to roll on in full at full speed. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to be different. I'll tell you what, I believe that little by little, line upon line, and here a little and there a little, God is preparing His people. And you know what? That's His mercy. That's all it is. God's mercy to us. We're thankful for that. Something keeps holding me every day I see. It's helping me faithfully overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me something keeps holding me. Once again now. Yes, something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Faithfully to overcome my trials. Father, we see, Lord, events that take place. We see, Lord, the things that are transpiring in Israel even today, Lord. It's certainly a signal that we're thankful we have heard today. We didn't choose, Lord, to have that receiving set in us. But, Lord, you placed something in there even before the foundation of the world that will cause us, Lord, to react when certain things happen in your word that we're being fulfilled. And, Lord, that sound, that voice is very loud to us. And it causes us, Lord, to react to the times that we live in. In the world, Lord, they have pressure, but they deal with that pressure in a different way. But when we hear the sounds, Lord, of your wings, Lord, spreading and getting ready to take your bride away. That does something very exciting in us. And Lord Jesus, we're reminded, Lord, that we have been chosen and elected, Lord, from long before, even before good or evil was done. And Father God, it's a humbling thing to realize you've picked us, Lord. You've selected us according to your great program that Lord was thought of long before we arrived. How blessed we are, Lord. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed more than we deserve. And so, Father God, we lift our voices to you today in thanksgiving. And Lord, pray that you would just keep us, Lord, spiritually awake and in tune with what you're doing, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would deal with every young person that's here, Lord, and every family that's represented. We have families that are hurting, Lord, going through difficult things, and we just commit them into your care, Lord, because we know you care for us. And Lord, we will leave none behind, but we will claim all of those that are ours. All of those that belong to the Bride of Christ, we claim them in the name of Jesus Christ. And our children, our wayward children, those, Lord, that we love and we know should be here to be able to sit underneath the preaching of the Word, we claim them today in the name of Jesus Christ. And ask, Lord, that you would move in hearts while that signal is still sounding out. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Have your way among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sing this as you go this morning. Take up your cross and leave it in the same key. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Take up your cross and follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. We'll sing. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know.
The world will hear coming of the Lord.
against temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Yes, we are a chosen generation. Culmination, final voice the world will hear. Coming of the Lord is near. I feel